Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But first to this news that the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer is in Washington today for talks with the US President Joe Biden, where they're due to discuss whether to let Ukraine use long-range missiles against Russia. And the meeting comes as pressure ramps up from Ukraine to loosen restrictions on the long-range weapons, while the Russian President Vladimir Putin last night warned the West that a change in policy would mean that NATO countries are at war with Russia. Well, in a moment, I'll speak to Dr. Patrick Bury, who's defence and security expert at the University of Bath. And first, though, I'm joined on the line by Larissa Brown, who is defence editor with the London Times. Larissa, good morning to you.
Good morning.
That warning I mentioned from President Putin comes as we hear reports that six UK diplomats now have had their accreditation to work and remain in Russia revoked. But how seriously do you believe NATO leaders are taking the threat from Putin?
Look, I've spoken to a few people this morning and last night about this, and I think there is a sort of consensus that Putin's bluffing. He can't be trusted. He's lied before multiple times, obviously. He said he was never going to invade Ukraine in the first place. And I think that the idea that NATO's going to be at war with Russia won't change things, because he believes that NATO's been at war with Russia, you know, since the beginning. But of course, you know, with this issue of the long-range missiles, there is a concern generally about what Putin might do next, because if the West does allow Ukraine to fire at these targets inside Russia, and Putin could respond in a number of ways. He's got these missiles from Iran in the last few days. He's going to be using them anyway. But he could step up his attacks elsewhere. He could use cyber. He could do something, you know, sub-threshold, as it's called, that might, you know, be alarming those sitting in London at the moment, working out what to do next. So there is a lot at stake here. And it'll be interesting to see what is actually discussed in the meeting. I don't actually think we're going to get any announcement today, but we could see an announcement in the next few days.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the attention, the focus on that meeting between Keir Starmer and Joe Biden is intense. But you're saying that agreement is unlikely to be reached on this specific matter at that meeting today.
Yes, Downing Street has been really trying to downplay any suggestion that there'll be a big announcement today on it. We've been hearing a few different things. Two of my sources were saying yesterday that they think that Biden might actually go for sort of a middle ground. He might allow Britain, and he might tell Keir Starmer today, that Britain can allow Ukraine to use British weapons to fire inside Russia. But crucially, they can't use the American version ballistic missiles that they've got. America's ballistic missiles can actually hit targets further away than the UK version. And it does seem that Biden himself is incredibly nervous about allowing Ukraine to use the US weapons in that way. However, Britain and both France have said that they're fine with it. So Biden might allow them to do that, but actually keep the US out of it, which would be quite an extraordinary position.
Well, it would, because it means that Britain and France are taking all of the risk here and the gamble with what Putin might do in retaliation.
Yes, I mean, that's exactly it. The British ministers have been pushing for ages, even the previous government. They were pushing for, you know, this policy to change. And actually, the UK has been quite, you know, at the front on this issue. They think that the Ukrainians shouldn't have restrictions. Many people argue that there shouldn't have even been these restrictions in the first place. You give Ukraine the weapons and they should be able to do what they want with them, obviously in line with international law. And so the fact that we've even got to this point is, you know, some people are quite dismayed by it, because there is this huge debate about it that could escalate things when it didn't need to happen in the first place.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning this news that the Kremlin has revoked the accreditation of six British diplomats. What do you understand is happening in that regard, Larissa?
Yeah, I mean, this is a significant number, six diplomats. This is the, you know, the worst expulsion that we've seen since Moscow actually kicked out 22 diplomats in March 2018 after the nerve agent attack of Sergei Skripal, and we had obviously kicked out the same number as a result of that. It seems like it's all, you know, obviously it's based on, you know, complete flimsy evidence with regards to long-standing British policy. But we've not got any detail on who those people are, and obviously we've not really seen a proper British official reaction yet to that. It's just broken this morning.
Larissa, good to talk to you, and thank you for bringing us up to date with all of that. Larissa Brown is Defence Editor with the London Times, and we go now to Dr. Patrick Bury, who is on the line too. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Claire.
I'm sure you, as many people, will have seen that photograph of Keir Starmer on the plane as he arrives in Washington. He's surrounded by journalists, intensely hanging on to every word he says with their pens poised, somewhat perplexed and intense looks on their faces. This certainly feels like an important moment in this war and how it is dealt with by Britain and the US.
It does. I think it's a potentially a big day. As Larissa said there, it'll be interesting to see if actually any announcement is made today. But look, it's coming towards one, and there's been a shift in the mood music. So I think people are expecting something to happen. I actually was thinking exactly as Larissa said, from what she's heard from some of her sources, that I think the US is going to let the UK. That's the whole point of the joint visit to Kyiv. This is the whole point of the joint of Starmer coming to the States and then later going to the G7. It's basically the UK is going to give the clearance to use the storm shadow, but it will have a security guarantee from the US that if it all goes up in smoke, it's got its back.
Right. So the US will only row in if things go wrong for the UK.
The US approach to giving stuff to Ukraine is to salami slice and slowly, slowly and see how it goes. Yeah. To test the waters, essentially dip your toe. And it makes sense in this case for the UK to potentially go first with the shorter range Storm Shadow missile, and then down the line, the US, if it all goes OK and there's no major escalation, to go, OK, yeah, we can use the ATACMS, which, by the way, of course, Russia will have moved most of its strategic air force, which, you need to hit that at its bases to stop them using the really cheap glide bombs which are destroying Ukraine. Mm-hmm. It'll have moved it back already if it hasn't already done so.
And the hesitancy on the US side is coming from President Biden, is it? Because it seems that Anthony Blinken is at idem with Keir Starmer on this and might want to go ahead.
Yeah, that often happens, that your foreign secretary is closer to the cause of your ally, your partner, than actually the leader who has to juggle with a whole load of different things. I think it's not just Blinken. I think really looking back at this, there's never been a precedent. You've got essentially what you've got is one major nuclear power now involved in what has become a proxy war after Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, but Ukraine cannot win on its own, in competition, in a proxy war with Russia. And there's no precedent that I can think of in all these previous conflicts like Korea, Vietnam, etc., where that middle person, the ally that's involved, was given permission by one nuclear power to use its weapons against the strategic air force inside that other nuclear power's territory. That's the worrying precedent here. Mm-hmm. And that's why, better minds than mine, with way better intelligence than I have, were basically, and Biden's position 10 days ago was like, it's not happening. Something's changed in the last 10 days. It's to do with Zelensky lobbying. It's also to do with the Iranian missiles being sold to Russia, where the calculus has changed or changing. And it's not without risk, but, maybe it's manageable.
The Iranian missiles, then, you're saying that has to be the factor that changed things, because Zelensky's been lobbying since the start of
this.
Yeah.
Exactly. They've been doing it for ages. And as Larissa said, the British have been pretty much on side with that for ages, but have got, certain caveats, I think, which the US are able to withhold permission for using some of their systems. So, yes, it looks like it. It seems like, well, if they're doing it, then we can do it, essentially.
There's also an acknowledgement here, Patrick, that what has been happening up to now just has not been working. And it's not going to work either.
Russia has found a sweet spot due to this deterrence and the fact that it can launch its missiles and its air force with these cheap glide bombs and really have no fear of attack because of the nuclear deterrent issue. It's found a strategic sweet spot where it could just hammer Ukraine, and it is hammering it into the ground in terms of the damage to the infrastructure and the energy infrastructure, making this winter is going to be the worst one for the Ukrainians that we've seen. So that's the recognition, that if you allow them to keep doing this, they'll basically pummel them into the ground, because they've found a sweet spot where deterrence is holding us back from doing it.
So leaving aside the threat of retaliation from Russia for a moment, what difference will the long-range missiles make to Ukraine?
I think that depends, one, on how much of the Air Force, and I think they have already moved a fair bit back. They're moving it as far back as they can, the Russian Air Force, to move back. And two, how good what we call their dynamic targeting is. So once you've got the Western and Ukrainian intel trying to identify mobile missile launchers within the 250, 300K range of these new missile systems they'll have permission to use, how quickly they can hit them. And that's basically determines the effectiveness. It will, I suppose, on another hand, it does also help if they have the clearance to do this or not. But if they were to hit command and control and logistics hubs that deep into Russia, that would then slow down their ability to attack into Ukraine. But that's a slightly different question from what this problem has been, which is all air defense, really.
I'm just looking at what President Putin has said he is likely to do. Now, Steve Rosenberg from the BBC has been trying to assess what he means when he says that they'll retaliate. And he's gone back to comments that Putin made in June, where he said the first thing we would do is improve our air defence systems. We'll be destroying their missiles, which we would expect, Patrick, wouldn't we?
Totally, yeah.
Then he says, we believe that if someone is thinking it's possible to supply such weapons to a war zone to strike our territory, why can't we supply our weapons of the same class to those regions around the world where they will target sensitive facilities of the countries that are doing this to Russia?
So, Iran and the Houthis, yeah.
That's it. Enemies of the West will be supplied with weapons. Can you see that as a possible way he'll try and get back at the UK?
100%. And he was about to supply Russian ballistic missiles to Iran and then the Houthis recently. And the US said, if you do that, it'll be seen as a major escalation. So I think you can expect he will do that. I think that what people may not be tracking here, Claire, is that, you know, there was a foil sabotage attack on a Norwegian airbase, which has their like most advanced fighters, the F-35, only a few weeks ago. There's been a kind of like a warning where a German airbase went into action stations because they thought they were being drone attacked. And I think that's Russia signaling that also that these sub-threshold sabotage cyber kind of attacks will be on the table in response to this. Mm-hmm.
One other interesting sidebar I noticed when Vladimir Putin was asked about retaliation in his comments overnight, he referred to this not as a special operation, but a war in Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the lexicon the Russians use is not really to be paid much attention to. But if he's saying like we're at war with NATO, but he's been saying that for ages. Mm-hmm.
But he has always insisted what he's doing in Russia, in Ukraine, is a special operation, that it's not a war. So his own language has changed in that regard. He had been very careful up to now.
Yeah, you'd expect that. You know, war pulls to the extremes in theory and also in practice. And I think we've actually seen it since the Ukrainian Kursk incursion. It's actually escalated essentially horizontally quite quickly.
Yeah, people are worried to hear about these developments this morning, Patrick. Should we be worried?
I think actually in this case, hopefully, the most likely course of action is that it's contained, as I mentioned, with these more... it's going to escalate a bit, but it's nothing really, really existential, hopefully. You know, I think it's much more likely to be on the normal escalation ladder, where you're going to see, yes, a response, but it's nothing that would trigger Article 5, for example.
Well, let's hope it remains as
such. Fingers crossed. Yeah,
Patrick,
yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much. Dr. Patrick Bury, defence and security expert at the University of Bath. Now, coming up next, we'll have the latest in that row over the passenger cap at Dublin Airport. It might see a million less people pass through the airport next summer. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.